Amen. I have always been an individual that's pretty much up for any physical challenge or adventure that somebody would roll out for me. So if somebody's like, hey, climb that tree. Okay. Hey, try and lift that chair. All right. Balance on that beam. Yeah. Hey, how much does it hurt if we shoot you with a BB gun? I don't know. Let's find out. Like, swing on that rope. Eat that whole pizza. Like, I'm usually like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Like, you know, I don't know if I can always accomplish it, but I typically will try, and I'll give everything I've got to see if I can make it happen. And it'll usually take a couple of tries if, you know, if it's something new. Usually I'll work on it till I figure it out and get there. Years ago, I was at my wife's family's house, and they were having a discussion, and they were starting to talk about how all of them had the ability to stick their tongue out and then touch their tongue to their nose. Now, I just want to let you know that for the next couple of minutes, I will see several of you trying that, okay? I didn't know about it in first, I didn't know that, and then in first service, I kept seeing people like, okay, so you're welcome to try. Just so, anyway, all of my wife's family can do this, and it takes a very rare combination of a long tongue, a short upper lip, and a nose that's not drifting too far away from your mouth, and some very raw determination and effort. That's what I figured, because when I try to stick my tongue out and touch my nose, it doesn't even look like I'm trying. I can barely stick the tongue and reach the top of my lip. Like, it doesn't go anywhere. So I really wanted to do it. I was like, these guys are all doing it. It looks pretty cool. Good party trick. I'm going to do it. So I started trying and trying and trying, and I was stretching my tongue out. I'm not even going to show you because it's so embarrassing how short it is. But, like, I was pushing my tongue, and I was straining, and it didn't work. And pretty much for the rest of the day, if anybody saw me somewhere in the house, I usually had my tongue out trying to reach my nose, but it never happened. Literally, by the end of the day, I was exhausted. I tried, and as much as I wanted to, no matter what I did, it wasn't happening. It wasn't going to get there. And then the next morning, I woke up, and I proved the ugly truth of what we've been talking about during this message series called Breathing Room. What we've defined for Breathing Room is that our breathing room is the space between our current pace and our limits. The next morning, I wake up. And after all of my attempts to be able to put my tongue to my nose, my mouth was very sore and my jaw was aching. But worse than that, at the end of my tongue was this large collection of very tiny tears and cuts. Essentially, what I had done is I had attempted to stretch my tongue beyond its limits. I know this doesn't make any sense. I didn't think it would happen, but literally, my tongue was only designed to go so far, and it had there was this reasonable pace, and I had pressed it so far. I tried to go beyond what it could do that I kept pushing past it, and I tried to push past the limits, and eventually I caused damage and pain and destruction, and I couldn't eat salad or anything with dressing for a while because it really hurt. And I like food, and so I've never tried again because but when it comes to our finances, we have limits. And when it comes to our time, we have limits. And when it comes to the effort we can give and how much we can volunteer and our food consumption and our physical abilities or whatever, everything has limits. And we allow the pace of that particular area to press up against the limits. And if we allow that pace to press up against those limits or try and push through those limits too hard or too long or whatever, we begin to create damage and destruction and pain as the result. So if we want to avoid painful, damaging results, we want to establish breathing room, we have to then begin to create some space and some margin between the pace that we're living at and the limits of that area. Making that space, making that room is something that we have to do. And if we do that, then we don't run the risk of living beyond that limit because we've created that space. And so based on that idea, what we've said is that life is better with breathing room. When there's no breathing room in our life, when it comes to our schedule, and when there's no breathing room financially, and when there's no breathing room relationally, our life gets really hectic. Our life can get very stressful. Our life can get very lonely. Life can get very frustrating. And so we've talked about breathing room. We talked last week about creating breathing room in our finances. And we talked before that about creating breathing room in our schedules and breathing room in our time. And we saw from the very beginning that the thing that keeps us from establishing breathing room in so many areas of our life is fear. Because we typically fear what other people are going to think if we create that space. We fear what other people's expectations, and we fear what they're going to think if we say, you know what, I'm going to need that margin. I'm going to need that room. I'm not going to buy more stuff. I'm just going to create that space. We fear how people are going to respond to our decision to create breathing room. And this morning, we're going to finish up talking about relationships. And so certainly, if we begin to create breathing room relationally, there's some fear about how other people will respond and how they will respond or how they will respond in the area of relationship as we begin to create that breathing room. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I've been afraid from time to time during this message series. Like, the things that I'm rolling out are not easy to necessarily hear. I don't know what service it was last week, but I was like, it literally felt like people were hating me. Like, it was tough to swallow, it was tough to hear. And so it's difficult to move forward in spite of that fear. So I just want to challenge you this morning, as you hear these things, allow God to speak to you and push you forward. This morning we're going to look at a letter that was written, and it's towards the end of the Bible. It was a letter that was written to one of the early churches that was established just after Jesus' time on earth had ended, after Jesus had said, okay, I'm handing it all over to you guys, you're now the ones, you're my followers, you're going to have to run with this thing. And then the letter was written by a guy named Paul to the church in Ephesus. Give some instructions on how we can approach life and then give some directions on relationships. Here's what it says in Ephesians 5:21. It's going to be on the screen. It's in your message notes. It says this. It says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The writer basically right here is talking. He's been talking all up to this point about how we can get the most out of life, how we can enjoy the fullest of life. And then he gets to this part and he begins to talk about relationships. And he starts talking about relationships by saying, submit. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And when we hear this word submit, what it doesn't mean to allow other people to beat us up. Submitting doesn't mean we allow people to push us around. Submitting doesn't mean that we say to everybody, okay, you can be the boss of me. Like, that's not what we're saying. This idea of submit, it's conveying an idea of rank. It's conveying the idea of an order or the place in line. It's not saying that it's something like, well, I have to be less than you or I'm not worthy of you. I'm convinced that what it's saying here when it talks about submit in terms of relationship is a willingness for you and I to accept the particular role of that relationship, to embrace the responsibilities that come with that role, to submit and commit ourselves to the duties of that role. It might mean submitting and humbly accepting or assuming the responsibility and the authority that comes with a particular role. And in each relationship, it's going to look different. But it establishes, or at the foundation of it, all of the relationships that we're in will have greater breathing room if we begin to submit. All different types of relationships, formats of relationships, whatever it looks like, if we submit to the role of that relationship can have breathing room. So if you want to have a strong friendship, it's submitting to the roles. If you want to be a good neighbor, it's submitting to the role of neighbor. If you want to have a solid teacher-parent relationship, it's submitting to that role. When both submit to that role, it works better. And as we submit to those roles, how that feels or how it looks or how that plays out will be unique to each and every relationship that you're in. And each husband and wife relationship will be unique. And each parent to child will be unique. And those roles can change and they can adjust as life moves on, as situations change, and as there's transition in life, those roles can be adjusted. But for the relationships to be healthy, each individual, each part of that relationship needs to submit to fulfilling that particular role. The writer of Ephesians, he goes on from here and he starts to write about some of the key relationships, some of the primary relationships in our life. Gives us a deeper understanding of what it looks like for these particular roles and what submitting looks like. Here's what it is. I grabbed out some of the highlights from it. Here's what he wrote throughout chapter 5 and 6. He said, for wives, this means submit to your husband as to the Lord. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. So when it comes to the roles of husband and wife, it's about loving with a sacrificial love like Christ loved. It's about submitting, coming underneath the authority and leadership the way that we should be coming under the authority and leadership of Jesus. Keep reading. We come to my favorite verse in all of Scripture. It says, children, obey your parents. My kids are in here, so I'm going to read it again. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. So for kids, like submitting as a child to that role, it's recognizing my role is to obey and to honor. goes on, more relationships. One that's a little bit harder for me. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Dads, our role is to train, not frustrate. Our role is to lead and to guide, not rule and demand. Moms, totally off the hook. He doesn't mention you at all. Is you're probably perfect or something. I don't even know. I don't even know what to do with that, but it's there. Keep reading. It says slaves. And when it talks about slaves, basically in this particular culture, a slave was pretty much an employee. So this is kind of like an employee relationship. So it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. So when you go to work, if you're the employee, you need to work hard. You need to give your best. You need to respect those that are in charge of you. You got to listen to your boss. You need to take the orders that they give. Do everything you possibly can as an employee to help the company and the organization thrive to its fullest. And when you go to work and you're the boss, don't use the fact that I'm the boss and I can squish you like a bug as a motivational tool. Rather, trust your employees. Let them know they're a valued individual, worthy of your respect. That you believe that they can do the things that you've asked them to do, and then do everything you can to help them be as successful as possible in the area that you've assigned them. And in each of these relationships, in each of these roles, if those roles can be embraced, if those roles can be lived out, that's when breathing room begins to happen. So for a boss that chooses not to run around with the big stick of, I'm going to fire you if you don't do what I say, that requires him to submit or her to submit to that role. To be a wife that says, I'm willing to come under the leadership and under the authority of my husband, that requires her to submit to that role. For a dad to recognize, you know what, I'm not going to frustrate my kids just by yelling and screaming and demanding and I'm going to raise them with sound instruction and patience and consistency. That requires submitting to that role. And ultimately, what we discover is that roles that are lived out create breathing room relationally. Creating breathing room in our life relationally isn't about limiting or reducing relationships. It's not about just cutting things out and saying, no, go away. It's not about calling all the shots and dictating how things go or making sure that it's always going your way. Rather, it's deciding that you're going to pursue relationships where both are embracing the role and where you're embracing the role and submitting to the role. That's when breathing room happens, is when we accept those roles and we begin to encourage the other person that we're involved with or in that relationship with to embrace the roles that they have in that and encouraging them and allowing them to find those. And in each of our homes and in each of our relationships, how those roles play out are going to be different. They're going to look differently. And in some homes where a wife is choosing to submit to her husband and to his leadership, it might look more like a traditional role of a wife. In other homes, it might be that the wife submits, but that means she's the primary income earner. Still submitting? In some homes, for the husband to love, it might mean that he's always opening every single door, car door, home, whatever. In other homes, the husband might love by saying, you know what, I'm going to allow you because you have the skills and the abilities, you're great, I'm going to let you control some of the extremely important things around the house. You got it. So maybe it's a remodeling project, purchasing a car. Who gets to handle the remote control? Like, it's a husband saying, I love you enough that you get to handle these important things. But when these roles are understood, when we embrace these rules, when we come to an agreement on what those roles look like, and we're submitting to those roles at a foundational level that we see in Ephesians, but then letting them play out in our lives, and then we live those out, that's what begins to create that breathing room. And Ephesians gives us that foundation for what those roles look like. But each person then has to begin to see those roles, carry the weight of that role, contribute, provide in whatever unique way they can. And as a result, that's when breathing room begins to happen. But there's some serious issues that begin to be created when those roles are not lived out. Because in fact, what happens is that unfulfilled roles are like handing a rock to the other person. So if I don't fill a role in my life, Essentially, then I've taken a rock and I've handed it to the other person and I've said, until I resume or until I take this role back, you need to hold on to this rock. And when you don't fill a particular role in your life, it's as if you've taken a rock and you've handed it to that other person and you've said, I need you to hold this until I decide to resume this role. So maybe it's in a friendship, and maybe it's a friendship that you don't necessarily really need much, but it's a friendship, right? And the other individual, they really need encouragement and motivation, and for you, you're like, man, I just enjoy time with you. And so in that particular relationship, their role is to give time and to be present, and your role is to give encouragement and motivation. And if the other individual decides, you know what, I'm gonna remove the time that I give, I don't really have time, I can't really make effort or make the effort, I'm not going to make the effort to give room for you. Still want the notes and they still want the text and they want the Facebook post where you're encouraging them or whatever. Like now what's happened is they've removed the role that they were playing and essentially they've now handed you a rock and said, I need you to carry that part of the relationship, but I'm not going to do it. Maybe it's an employee that goes to work and does their job, but is completely disrespectful and completely ignores the leadership of their boss. Essentially, they've just handed a rock to their boss. Or maybe it's a boss that doesn't provide support and doesn't help their employees accomplish the things that they've assigned them to. Just threatens them, hey, we're going to give you a bad work review and I'm going to cut your pay. And here's a great big rock. Maybe it's in a home where a husband has been told, his wife is like, man, when you come home at night, if you're home, man, I could really use your help getting the dishes done. Boy, I could really use your help with the kids and getting the homework finished. If you could help me by separating out your light and dark laundry, right? And when a husband chooses to not do those things, not to fill that role that he's basically handing a rock. Or if there's a wife that misses the fact that her husband needs more than anything for her to convince or to convey to him that she believes in him, thinks that he can accomplish whatever life throws at him. If she doesn't convey that she believes in him, she's essentially handing him a rock to carry. And I'm not trying to define roles necessarily. I'm not saying this is what a husband and wife looks like or this is what parents and kids are like. I'm not even trying to hint at what those should be. In your life, in your relationships, those roles need to be defined through conversation and through looking at this baseline that we've talked about in Ephesians. But ultimately, each of us in those relationships, what it looks like to be a husband or wife or parent or child or coworker, there's some baseline ideas here, but what those relationships look like have to be found and have to be learned and have to ultimately understand your role. Determine, does that role fit? Am I capable of that? Am I willing to do that? And have conversations. Help the other person find out, hey, what are the roles that you're playing? Here's the roles that I need from you. Are you capable of doing this? Are you willing to do this? And have that conversation, because until we define those roles, until each person knows what they're doing, essentially, we can begin inadvertently handing back rocks like, hey, here, we'll hold this. And we're like, whoa, what? So those roles have to be discussed and defined. And there's certainly times in life where situations are going to come up where it's acceptable to hand a rock over, right? Somebody gets sick. Somebody has to travel. I know certain people have jobs where they got to travel a lot. And if that's the reality of it, then that's the roles that you play and you figure out how to make it work. Could be work deadlines, it could be stress, it could be other relationships. Could be adding a kid, could be transitions of kids, whatever it is. There's all kinds of reasons where rocks might be handed over for a time. That's life. That's normal. That's the benefit of relationship, is being able to support each other when life is big and stressful and changing. The problem begins, though, if a rock is handed over too often and too long, because a person will sink and begin to lose breathing room. Because life will have challenges and have changes and difficulties and obstacles. And when that hits a role, there may need to be an adjustment. Roles may go unfulfilled. It might be that we say, you know what, we're going to have to just change the expectations because this rock is too much. That happens in life. But most of us, we can deal with it. If somebody's like, hey, listen, this is going to have to change for a little bit. Here's the rock. For most of us, we can carry a rock for a time. Some people can carry a rock way longer than anybody expected they would be able to. But eventually, if there's a role that goes unfulfilled for too often or for too long, the person that's taken on that additional rock will begin to sink. And the breathing room will begin to disappear. And their ability to manage life, to be able to hold on and maintain their own roles will be eliminated. And extra pressure will build as that rock is attempted to be carried. And so maybe, again, there's a marriage where one person becomes very sick or there's an illness. And so obviously the other person begins to assume some new responsibilities and some new roles. So maybe a discussion has to take place about changing those roles or changing the responsibilities or adjusting how things are done over the long term so that it can be managed. But the more critical thing are the times where the roles aren't discussed and there's not adjustments and expectations aren't switched. And now this person suddenly has to carry a role and take on something that they're not capable of or aren't able to carry. And when that happens for too long and too often, the breathing room is lost and they begin to sink under the weight of it. And clearly in the relationships that are more primary, more essential, when those roles aren't filled, both individuals end up having to carry a rock if we're not playing the role that we're designed to play. And in those primary relationships of a spouse or kid or parent, employees, close friends, when the rocks are handed over in those situations, we can sink faster than ever. So let's quickly look at some signs that a rock has been handed off in a primary relationship to begin to recognize, hey man, has this happened? And then if it has happened, how do we adjust to it? How do we begin to make a difference in that so that we don't sink? And if we can begin to recognize that a rock has been handed off, we can actually deal with it. That we can actually begin to correct it before breathing room is completely gone. So let me give you three signs that a rock has likely been handed off. The first one is repeated promises to do better. Oh, I promise I'll be at the next game. I promise I won't spend so much on shoes again. And that's me. That's not my wife, just so you know. I promise I when you come home from work late next time, I will not give you trouble for that. I promise I won't yell at you for getting to hang up your towel again. I promise I'll do my homework the first time when you remind me. It's a promise over and over. I'll be better. I promise it won't happen again. I promise next time this will be different. I promise this is the last time. I promise you can trust me that this is going to change. And what happens when this is over and over and over regarding the same issue or the same role that goes unfulfilled, there's a very likely chance that a rock has been handed over. And that promise to change, that's good. Admitting that something needs to be different, that's positive. But it needs to actually happen. And when it's repeated again and again and again, it's a sign that a rock has likely been handed over. Another sign that a rock has been handed over is chronically absent from important events. Missed birthdays. Skipped family meals. Ignoring a team meeting or a planning session that's important at work. If you scheduled a date with your spouse, you better be there, right? Forgetting your kids' appointments or concerts or games or awards or celebrate, whatever it is, chronically being absent from important events. And when that's consistently happening, others have to pick up the slack. Others are being handed a rock. Because being present in those things that are critical is an essential role that we play in those relationships. And when we're not taking those seriously, we're not holding those in high regard, basically we're saying, I need you to hold this rock for me. And the rock is handed over to the other parent that gets to represent everyone. Or the employee that needs their boss to buy in and be at that meeting and support them and represent in front of the team. And then the boss skips it and is just basically like, you're going to have to take this rock. Or the kid that's got to figure out, I thought I was important to these people that say they value me and yet they don't show up to my event. It's handing that kid a rock. And being chronically absent is critical. And it's a sign that a rock may have been handed off. The third sign is the habit of deciding to point to the future to make up for the past. Okay, I won't have to work overtime forever. Next month, I'll be home more. Okay, once I get this homework project done, I'll clean my room. Okay, after we get back from vacation, I won't be grumpy and short with everybody. Okay, if the economy improves, then we can go visit family. Okay, I know I forgot to pay the bill, but it's been really busy around here, and I'm going to get it all straightened up later. It's similar to a promise, but it's way more of, listen, here's this rock. I know you're carrying it. I just need you to carry it a little bit longer, and if we can get down here a little ways, it'll be better. I'll take the rock back, but it's going to be down the road. And again, if this happens once or twice, it's life. It's part of relationships. But when it happens too often, when it happens for too long, breathing room begins to be lost. And we begin to sink under the weight of it. And I know some of us are starting to think, okay, smarty pants, this sounds great, but what's the solution? Like, we get it. Because a lot of us are, you're living every day with this. And either you're recognizing that you're losing breathing room and you're sinking under the weight of the rock that you're carrying, or you're beginning to recognize that you've not filled a particular role in a relationship and that you've been handing over rocks, and people that are essential to you are losing breathing room. So to start with, I don't consider myself a smarty pants, so I just want you to know that. Because I usually just wear cargo shorts, and those are just kind of smart. Sorry, okay. So understand a couple of things. This is not about the temporary moments where a role isn't filled and a rock is handed over. Like, those are going to happen, but this is about those situations where it begins to stay there and begin to recognize that there are those moments where the relationship is beginning to lose breathing room and it's starting to run out, and where that margin of that space has been eliminated. And if we can recognize it early, we can correct it. But what do we do when we're like at panic? Like when we're running out of air, like the breathing room is gone in the relationship. So in those moments, what do we do? A couple steps. First thing that we need to do is this. In order to create breathing room, the rock has to either be put down or it needs to be handed back. And it's critical. Remember, we're talking about rocks that are weighing us down because they're coming at us from relationships that matter. So we can't just toss them aside. It's not like, right? Like these rocks matter because they've come out of a relationship that matters. They're the result of a role that was essential. So how we handle these rocks or how we handle this is important. But if we've been handed a rock that's starting to eliminate breathing room, there's a chance that there's going to have to be a discussion to say, listen, this rock, I can't do it any longer. I'm going to have to put it down, which means I'm not going to be able to fill the role that I was playing, and we're going to have to come to grips with that. And a decision to say, you know what, I can't carry it anymore. That role's going to have to change. It might be that we say, listen, we're not going to worry about that area anymore. You know what, that's not going to get done. Again, maybe there's a spouse that gets really ill or diagnosed with some horrible disease, and so now suddenly all kinds of roles are changed. It may be that, you know what, the house doesn't get as clean as it used to. Maybe we don't do the things that we used to do. The roles have to change. It might have to be set down for a time, because the breathing room is getting lost from the expectations of the role. And it may be that there's a discussion. Could be a very complicated discussion, handled wisely, but basically saying, listen, I can't carry the rock that I'm carrying anymore, so I either have to set it down or I'm going to have to hand it back, because this is crushing me. And a necessary conversation has to be taking place about who's going to carry this, and if somebody's not, it can't be me, and I'm going to have to set this down. Which certainly isn't easy, can't be done with force, but it happens when we adjust the mindset that we came from the start, where we submit to the role that we're able and capable of playing, where we submit lovingly and saying, listen, I can't do it. If this doesn't change, if this doesn't go away, I'm going to be crushed under this. So this is a role that I'm going to have to set down or hand back. And in our primary relationships, that's our options. Set this down or hand it back. Beyond that, in other relationships, it may mean we walk away from non-essential relationships where a rock is being continually handed over. If you're in a friendship that's preventing breathing room, it can be walked away from. If you're in a work situation that's causing extra rocks to be piled on, which then at home is leading for your primary relationships to have to carry extra rocks, that's leading those relationships to lack breathing room, it's a job situation that might need to be walked away from. Understand, I'm not suggesting in any way you walk away from your marriage or walk away from being a parent. Those are primary relationships. So the rocks involved, pretty much hand them over or put them down. The role can't be walked away from, or the relationship can't be walked away from. But in non-essential relationships, friendships, I know that sounds essential, but if there's no breathing room. In work, if there's no breathing room. If you keep discovering that you keep being handed back a rock, and you're now carrying a weight that you can't or you shouldn't or you don't want to carry, you can hand it back, you can set it down, or you can say, I'm going to have to walk away from this relationship. Sounds cold, sounds unloving. But actually, it's a willingness to submit to the role of the relationship. And here's why we have to deal with it. Because a rock carried too long will eventually lead to being crushed. I mean, you can handle a ton in your life. I know that. There's lots of roles that you're capable of playing in a variety of relationships. Those relationships are important and necessary in life. And there's times where you're going to carry a rock that wasn't necessarily yours as you're helping through transition or struggle. But if that extra rock is carried for too long, it's going to eliminate all breathing room. The weight is going to cause you to sink, and you're going to lose your ability to live, and you're eventually going to be crushed under it. So you're going to have to create some breathing room. You're going to have to take some action. We've looked at it. We've discovered during this series that life is better with breathing room. So there might have to be some adjustments to the roles. There might have to be some adjustments to the relationships to create the breathing room so that life can be better. Back of your Connect cards, we challenge you each week to think through what this means for you and how this is going to be able to play out in your life. So as you think about that, as you think about this idea of roles and relationship and rocks, maybe you need to consider the health of your role in your primary relationships. Maybe you need to define the rock that you've handed off. Maybe you've been handing over a rock and others are being crushed and you need to take them back. Maybe you need to define the rock that you've been handed. Maybe you need to ask for a conversation to find solutions for a rock that you've been carrying for too long. Maybe you need to determine that you'll take some action to avoid being crushed. I don't know where you're at in your relationships. I don't know what they look like. I would just challenge you to consider the roles that you're playing, to continue to be willing to submit to those and be willing to have conversation or take action to create breathing room in those relationships. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love for us and for your care for us. Would you help us to be willing to take some difficult steps, some positive steps, to own the steps that we need to take on for ourselves? Begin to create breathing room in our relationships and the relationships of those around us. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.